as with the feast of many apostles, so this one, the feast of St. Thomas, the first reading is from the letter to the Ephesians. You are no longer strangers and sojourners. Those are Jewish terms for somebody in the land, but not a Jew. So he's a stranger or a ger, a sojourner who lives there, who has rights. You're fellow citizens with the holy ones. There's only one people. And members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You know, the vision that John the seer has in the Apocalypse is that the heavenly city, you know, is built on the apostles. And that's not just figurative speech. Those who were chosen, those early ones who were chosen, we have no idea the immensity of the graces that they were given. They are, to this day, the foundation of the church. We say in the prefets, and from their place in heaven, they guide us still. They are the new Israel. I have chosen you, and you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus purposely started a new people, and he chose 12, and they are patriarchs. They're apostles, but they're patriarchs. And that's the foundation. And it's still the foundation of the church. And if it is apostles and prophets, then, as the gospel tells us, it's faith. And so we have this famous incident. Thomas wasn't there, and our Lord came, and then they said, "We have seen the Lord." Now notice, doesn't say we have seen Jesus. We have seen the Lord. That vision gave them knowledge of his divinity. We have seen the Lord. Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and my hand into his side, I will not believe. I want a lot of evidence." Now this whole gospel is about our Lord's desire that we believe. So he comes. Of course, he knew exactly what Thomas had been saying. And so he said, "Thomas, come. No, here, see? Here's the mark. Now put your finger in it if you want. You know, and here, put your hand here." Just think of the love and the accommodation of Jesus to win over one of his dear friends to believe. Touching Jesus' body is not going to give him faith. Faith is a work of the Holy Spirit. But it could help him. But it's not. You could look at Jesus all day, but unless the Holy Spirit moves you and you agree, you will not believe. And so we have this text in which we see that our Lord is so anxious for us to believe him, to put our lives, you know, on the line, to believe him. I don't know what we would do if all of a sudden somebody said, "Jesus is in the next room." Yeah. And you know, would we go? One of those illusions, who knows? But the point is that Jesus is eliciting this kind of faith from us every day. The foundation of our whole Christian life is faith. And growth in the Christian life is growth in faith. And so, for many years, most of us, there's an alternation between light and darkness, between evidence clarity, knowledge, and then darkness. Then, and that is only so that we will grow in faith. The challenge is, you see, that unless we're maintaining a strong, consistent, daily, long time of prayer, we're not going to go through this, which is a blessing to go through. It's hard to grasp, isn't it, how much our Lord wants us to believe Him? He says, I am Jesus. I am the eternal Son of God, and I dwell in you. In fact, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me, if you'll let me. Now, do you believe me? I mean, if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many people have had disappointments in their life? I mean, who wouldn't raise their hand? Did you go on believing? Did you say, Jesus, I believe you anyway? That's the whole point, isn't it? To grasp the depth of the desire in our Lord's heart that we believe, that we yield to that work of the Holy Spirit that carries us out beyond our narrow little framework of mind, our habitual way of looking at things, our comfort with our own cultural outlook, whatever, to believe. You know, sometimes you look and you say, no wonder people think we're crazy. We really think that this bread and wine is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who is God. That's what we believe. We believe that He was crucified, was buried, and He rose from the dead. And He's alive. And He talks to us. You wonder why people say these people are crazy. We get so used to the concepts, you see, that we sort of move in this world and are never shocked by it until the Lord pulls the plug and we have to really say, you know, I don't know where you are. I know you hear me, just like you heard Thomas. I know that. And I want to tell you, I believe in you. I believe you. I know you are the eternal Son of God. I know that. And I'm happy to pray to you and intercede with you and to you. You know, I just want to break through this. I want to believe. Really believe. Yeah, I know. Of course, you're risen from the dead. And you're available. You know, I'm either, you know, hallucinating or it's true. First letter of Peter says, you know, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Isn't that a miracle? And you see, the Lord is saying to every one of us, no matter where we are in our faith development, believe me. Do you believe that your whole life is in my hands? Did you not put your whole life in my hands? Then do you believe that your life is in my hands? That it's not out of my control? Do you believe? You see, if we'll let this gospel bear its message to us, we will be so impressed with the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ for us. Saying, believe me. Believe. This is your lifeline to eternity. And then, when there are contradictory experiences, sickness, failure, who knows what, believe. Believe. The best we often do is sort of, you know, like, grin and bear it, you know. hope it'll go away, whatever it is. And only the saints go right to Jesus and say, I believe you today as much as I did yesterday. And I want you to know that, because you see, belief is the entrusting of my whole being to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to his Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's my whole being I give to you. It's not just assenting to a proposition. And that's the foundation of our relationship to him. We should pray today for ourselves and for the whole church that we experience that intensity of love. Will you believe me? You know, would you tell me you believe? No matter where you are, whatever you're feeling, will you tell me you believe? Will you tell me? Will you worship, you know, my Father, myself, and the Spirit? Will you tell us that you believe that we are one God in three persons? Will you tell me that? Will you believe? And when you're in a difficulty today, would you say, I believe? This is not out of your control. And then we see better, I think, Thomas's dilemma. You see, I want a lot of certitude. Jesus gave him all he needed, 100 times, but that would never force him to believe. Belief is not seeing Jesus or touching Jesus, it's believing Jesus.